This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Prime Time here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich is Mike. Do you want to go in on this Old Dominion South Florida game one last time before we not talk about it anymore the rest of the show?
It's a train wreck. I mean, the whole thing's a train wreck. Now you got Old Dominion at the one. They like ran into each other in the end zone. Should have been a safety. They forgot to tackle him. I mean, the quarterback just runs out for 3 yards. This whole thing is a mess. Old Dominion should have just thrown a pick. Like this is. I'm glad I'm on the under because then I can laugh at all this shenanigans. But if I would bet a side, I would be thoroughly upset with myself right now because both of these teams deserve to lose.
All right, and then maybe that's the last time we talk about that game. It seems like everybody, I mean, I'm looking at the Twitter machine as well, and everyone's like, this is not a great display.
It's a mess.
Yeah, this is not a good display of football, like at all. All right, now joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, your friend and mine making his return to the show, Colby Marcio at Colby Betts over on the Twitter machine, of course, at Betting News as well. How you doing, buddy?
Good. I missed you guys. How you been?
I know. I mean, listen, you're just, you got all this stuff going on. You're too busy for us these days. It's okay. It's okay. I understand. I'm glad you're blowing up out there.
Do you spend your winter watching home runs and just kind of crying, waiting for it to come back?
So you can post videos about you guys home runs? Don't mention baseball. I miss it every day. The beauty of baseball ending is college basketball coming back because I do need that advanced analytic, like, fulfillment. And just going to Bart Torvik and Haslametrics every day fulfills that. So that gets me through only a few months to get back to baseball. So we're almost there. I'm thinking about futures already. I can't lie.
I bought one. I bought a future already. I bought the Orioles over win total, and then they signed Pete Alonso. I was feeling pretty good about that.
You gotta wait.
No. It was 82.5. It was good. It was good. Them being 500. I got over 500.
They don't have pitchers. You're fine. They don't have pitchers.
All right, Colby. We do have a college basketball tip that is happening here in about an hour. Santa Clara, North Texas. What say you?
Yeah, I snagged Santa Clara last night at 9.5. I know you guys have G Unit coming up in a bit. I saw he has them at 14.5. I think whatever number it is out there right now to take Santa Clara, I see it's at minus 12. I think they blow the doors off of North Texas. They're coming off back-to-back losses against New Mexico and Arizona State. They've endured the 19th toughest schedule to kick off the season, and now they're playing a team that has endured the 59th easiest schedule. This is not the same North Texas that we fell in love with a couple of years ago in the NIT with the most miraculous under that ever hit. Ross Hodge is not there anymore. This is still a good defensive team, but their offense is terrible. So I really think this is a perfect bounce back for Santa Clara. This is a neutral site game, but it's only 45 minutes south of campus. This is a home game.
Pretty crazy that you see North Texas there, 8-3 straight up, points for 69 a game, points against 64. I didn't know if it was the football or the basketball school. Like, I wasn't sure which team this was just because we've seen that North Texas team run up that many points every single week on the football field. That is a college basketball game, as Matt mentioned. But we'll move over to the college football side because we have the college football playoff coming up this weekend. One of the marquee games here on Friday night, we're going to have Bama taking on Oklahoma. The number is all over the place. I've seen both of these teams favored. I've seen a pick'ems. I've seen 1.5. So it's a little bit of everything here. Total sitting at 40.5, the majority of books. What do you like here, Bama and Oklahoma?
I love Alabama. And the best way to describe this Alabama team to myself is I keep saying that they're kind of like UNC making the bubble last year. Nobody wanted them to make it because they've had 3 losses, blah, 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 blah. They lost to Georgia in the SEC championship, blah, blah, blah. But people forget they endured a gauntlet this entire season. Their schedule has been brutally tough. And they also, I don't know why people are forgetting this, they have the best win in college football. They beat Georgia at Georgia. I think that itself is a reason to put them in. Also, after that, they played Vandy, beat them, beat Missouri, beat Tennessee, beat South Carolina, beat LSU. Then they lost to this exact Oklahoma team where they still outgained them by 200-plus yards and turned the ball over, I think, 3 or 4 times. I think they get right. I think plus money for this Alabama team to win is an absolute steal. I got them at minus 110. I'm still kicking myself. I might buy back again. I think this has to be Alabama, even though this is a road game.
Miami and Texas A&M sitting about 3.5 out there in the market right now. 48.5, the prevailing total. You're not going to mess around with the spread, though.
No, no. So I initially took Texas A&M minus 160 on the money line. As soon as I hit the button, the odds changed to 166. So I'm on minus 166. You can get a better number than me. Don't fool around with the points. I don't think you have to, but I'm sure they demolish them. I think Miami gets embarrassed in this game. They have endured, I keep saying the word endured, that's the word of the day, endured the easiest schedule, one of the easiest schedules in the entire country. You could argue they shouldn't be in, they shouldn't be in, who cares? Doesn't matter, they're in. But they really didn't leave the state of Florida this entire season. The first time they left the state of Florida, they lost to SMU. They went to play Virginia Tech and then at Pitt. This is going to be the toughest game they've endured. Kyle Field does not match up to anything that they've already faced this season. You can combine Pitt and Virginia Tech. It does not match up to Kyle Field, and I think this is a great place for Texas A&M to get started and roll through this Hurricanes team.
In a game that we have seen before, we got Tulane taking on Ole Miss here. Number right now, around 17.5 in most books, as Ole Miss has been bet out a little bit from 16.5. You can get a flat 17 right now with friends at Circa. So if you do want to try and go there and get a flat 17, that is available in the market. What do you like here? And what does your hat stand for? Because when I Google UIU, it's the currency of Uruguay. I'm guessing that's not a Uruguayan currency hat.
Up your units every day on Betting News at 12 Eastern. You can check it out every single day. Thanks for the free ad. But
oh, there we go. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. It was a free ad. Thank you for the layup. Actually, that was an alley-oop. But I love Ole Miss here. They got the biggest middle finger of the year with Lane leaving, and I think they would want nothing more than to finish their goal of the season, which is to hopefully get a national championship. We already know they destroyed this Tulane team, and I'm not a fan of the group of five teams. I just always lean with the favorite because these games mean the most. Sure, they might have a little bit of a morale boost with their coach still staying, but he's also leaving. I just have a lot of respect for Trinidad Chambliss and this entire Ole Miss team.
Colby, no official play for you here in this one, but what does your gut tell you about Oregon and James Madison?
So, yeah, on up your units today, funny enough. We were talking about this game, and I kind of love the under. I don't want to lay points with either team. I could totally see Oregon winning 47-0 in this game. But I do love the under. I don't think Oregon chose their playbook much in this game, and they keep it very conservative. I don't even know if James Madison is able to score any points. And if they do, I would argue that's a Super Bowl victory for them. I think 47.5 is a great number to take, and I lean with the under heavily there.
As we progress further inside the college football playoff here, we're going to get some marquee matchups down the line. A lot of the conversation around the two Big Ten teams who are currently your favorites, Ohio State and Indiana. If I gave you 100 map bucks, who are you putting on that $100 to win it all based on the odds? Are you sticking with one of those Big Ten teams? You're going to the SEC. Where are you going with your money?
Well, I typically don't like taking the chalk at the top, but if you're giving me a free $100 bet, I talked about it the other day. I like the price on Texas A&M. I don't think it's terrible. I know everyone's really gung-ho, pun intended, with Texas Tech. I need you to prove it, and I want to be wrong. I want them to be as legit as everyone's making them out to be. But I think I saw you get Texas A&M 14-1. I don't hate that. I don't hate Ole Miss either, just for a long shot value. If it's under 5-1 or under 10-1, I don't really want to deal with that. So 14-1 is a phenomenal price, in my opinion, for a Texas A&M team that is actually legit. And I also think their loss to Texas is something they needed to wake up for this tournament.
All right, Colby, we are a long time from baseball. That being said, there are markets available to be bet. There's stuff all over the place. Of course, the Dodgers, you're big-time favorite, plus 370. Next one is the Yankees at 750. What are you waiting on before you start to really make some bets? Is it where Tarik Skubal ends up? Is it where whatever? Like, what are you kind of waiting on, and what are you looking to see?
I'm just curious to see who gets signed or who gets moved elsewhere. Also, to anyone that wants to bet the Dodgers to win the World Series at this very moment, my Venmo is available. You can find it. It's really easy. Just put my full name in, and you can get it. No, there's no need to bet something as chalky as that in the month of December. I, as a Chicagoan, I do like the, and I know Adam Rosenberg tweeted this out, and it got me on my radar. I do love the White Sox win total over. They're going to be really scrappy. They're going to be fun. Sure, the pitching's probably not going to be the sexiest thing on the planet, but These are all young guys who want to make a name for themselves in the majors, and I think that's more dangerous than a bunch of veterans just getting paid. So I think that's a very good look. I think it was 63.5. I like that a lot. I will be looking for home run futures in the coming weeks and when they let those out. I can't wait to make another parlay that hopefully cashes, but that's really the only one on my radar that I've actually kind of wanted to look more into is the White Sox win total over.
When it's all said and done, you think Scooble gets moved?
I'm not good with this stuff. I don't know. I don't know where he's going to go. I think it's sad that he's leaving. I wanted Detroit to be legit for the longest time. I want all the bad teams. I mean, they've been bad for the last couple of years. They were good when they had their last rotation of starters with Scherzer and whatnot. But it's kind of sad. Hopefully they get enough that it's still a decent team, but it's going to be really interesting to see where he goes.
He's Colby Marcio at Colby M. Betts over on the Twitter Machine Betting News. And of course the UIU Up Your Units podcast as well. Do appreciate the time there, Colby. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Absolutely. It is good to have Colby back on the show here. We talked about, you know, Scooble still as a Tiger, plus 380, your favorite to win the American League Cy Young Award. That is to no surprise. Crochet, plus 425. People won't quit DeGrom. DeGrom at plus 950. Cole Reagans making the return from injury at 11-1. Hunter Brown at 13. Brian Wu at 13. There's all kinds of low numbers out there in this, Mike.
Yeah, pretty interesting market, especially since if you do see Scooble traded, it's probably to the NL, which means everybody else live inside there.
Absolutely. That's why I brought that up, actually, when it comes down to it. To tease or not to tease when we come back.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
To tease or not to tease? Every bettor faces the question. Shift the spread for safety or take the risk head on. Matt and Mike decide in To Tease or Not to Tease.
Yes, you know how this goes. Go in, find you something you want to manipulate. You got to partner it up with another one. You can do three, you can do four if you want to. Typically two-leg teaser and everything that we're talking about here. You go in. Can move the thing 6 points if you want to. Of course, there are 6.5, there are 7. Actually, now they allow you to hit that slider, Mike, like a long way. You can move that puppy up to like 11 points if you want to or whatever. We'll be talking from a more typical standpoint of kind of like in that 5 to 6 range where you're trying to move through the key numbers here. And so starting things off tomorrow night as the Rams are 1.5-point dogs to the Seahawks. So, of course, if you take the full 6, you can move this thing up to 7.5. Of course, the Rams look to be without Devontae Adams, your leader right now in the NFL in touchdowns. Just been an absolute beast in the red zone for this Rams squad. What say you, to tease or not to tease?
We haven't talked fully about this. We got the weather that we're expecting up there in Seattle as well. I think this is a good teaser leg. I think going up to 7.5 with the Rams is a safe spot to play again. This has been a team that has had Sam Darnold's number earlier this season as well as last year in the postseason. I just don't see Seattle being explosive on offense throughout the entire game. I think they have moved the football in spots. I'm just not sure it's consistent. You look at the other side, I think the Rams have enough offense to be able to keep this game relatively close, even if they are behind. So give me the Rams here as a teaser leg.
Got that low 42 total as well, right? And it does kind of seem, even if Devontae Adams doesn't play, which it looks like he is not going to play, a doubtful pretty much means out, specifically on a short week. They still, obviously, still have Puka Nacua. They still have Kyren Williams. They still have Blake Corum. They still have Parkinson. It's not like it's one of those deals where a guy goes down like Devontae Adams and you're like, oh, well, that completely changes the complexion of this team. Now, certainly the red zone, it's going to be felt, but it's not like you're worried about whether the Rams are going to have any form of offense or not.
No, there's still plenty of weapons here. You mentioned, obviously, Puka Nacua, arguably the best wide receiver in football here. Parkinson, who's been playing very well for them, has been a red zone threat the last few weeks as well. You got the dual-headed running back situation, and in a game where running the football against Seattle defense could be tough, but if anyone can, it's the Rams team that's been really successful running the football the last few weeks. So there's still enough offensive weapons here. But to me, the defense is the side you got to focus on. This has been a Rams defense that has shut down this Seattle offense, and specifically Sam Darnold the last two. I think that's where the edge is.
Eagles, 6.5-point favorites at the Commanders. We know no Jaden Daniels for the rest of the season for the Commanders here. Eagles rebound last week against a completely lifeless Raiders team. So nearly a touchdown favorite on the road. What say you?
Oh, this one's tough. This one's right in the middle of whether or not I want to tease it. I'm going to go with no.
Yeah.
Simply because we're not, like, if you want to adjust it down to 2.5 and get a little better price, I think that's fine. But as a 6-point teaser, I would pass on this one. I don't want to, I'm not going through 7, and it's not a Eagles team. I'm overly confident that we're going to get the A-plus effort. I also don't want to, like, read too much into that Las Vegas Raiders game because everybody plasters the Raiders. I'm not just going to assume it's back just because that happened.
Yeah, I'm with you. So for me, my thing here is, like, I think if you like the Eagles, then they should cover just the number. I don't think you need to tease it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like they either play good, they are a superior team, the Commanders, everybody is, like, almost everywhere on the field, they are a superior team to the Commanders. And so it's kind of like if you get a good Eagles performance, they should cover the 6.5.
Yes, I agree with that. That's an excellent point. Like, just lay the 6.5. If you like them, because if you get the Eagles A or B effort, they win by 10.
Yeah.
So it's not, then you're not even worried about the teaser aspect of it. You don't have to pair them with anybody either.
The Bears are 1.5 dogs to the Packers. Some good news for the Packers today, coming off of the horrible news that you lose Micah Parsons for the season, but Christian Watson back at practice, Mike, and which you and I thought maybe he had broken his collarbone or whatever, or you hear chest injury and the dude not able to come back into the game. And the quote today is, it's feeling pretty good for everything considered. So I think it'll be all right for the game. We're at a point in the season where you got to fight through some stuff. So should be good was the quote. So really shocking to me. I was full on planning that this was going to be a game without Christian Watson, but I guess not.
Wild. Dude went to the hospital. Like, you just assume it's more serious than, like, hey, he'll be back. But hey, he'll be back. I'm okay with teasing this one up. Yeah. I think taking the Bears up to 7.5 makes a lot of sense. This is a Packers team, and we'll talk about the power ratings that I had rated second before last week happened. Obviously, I adjusted off of the issues that they had last week, not just in the fact that they lost that game, but they lost the pieces specifically on the defensive side and Parsons, and we didn't know what we were going to get from the offensive side and Christian Watson. I'm also not going to assume we have 100% Christian Watson or that we get him the entire game in this situation either. I think that has to be at least factored in to part of the handicap here. So I do like the Bears plus the 7.5 years of teaser leg.
Yeah, I think, I know we assume the Bears are going to be able to run the ball successfully, a few different times here this season. I think they are, I think they will be able to run the ball here. So I also like that one up to the 7.5. The Giants are 2.5-point dogs hosting the Vikings.
This one's a tough one for me because I don't like either of these teams at all.
Yep.
I don't really trust either of these teams to get their consistent effort. It feels like we kind of get, like, we don't really know what we're going to get from J.J. McCarthy. We're not sure if we're going to get the good J.J. McCarthy we saw a couple weeks ago, the mediocre one we saw last week, or just the bad one we've seen earlier in the season. Still a Giants team that's playing pretty hard, though. So I do think there are worse teaser legs out there. I am a little worried that this Vikings defense just shuts the Giants out. So I have not teased this one. However, I would have this in front of, like, Eagles if you're power ranking these, because I'd rather get this up to 8.5 than the Eagles down to 0.5.
Chargers are 2.5-point dogs at the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, give me the Chargers. I'll tease them. This is a atrocious Cowboys defense. I think that the Chargers find ways on offense to put points on the board, and if that's the case, I think they are a pretty good teaser like here, despite the big total. We always talk about not teasing big totals. This is one of those situations where you clearly have the better defense. If we are playing a big total game, the only reason I'm teasing is if I have the better defense, I think I do here with the Chargers.
Yeah, I would play this one, and I think it's probably the scariest one that I've said yes on so far, just because, I mean, the Cowboys still do have Dak and two elite receivers. Whether Pickens decides he's going to be, in the game or checked out or not, whatever, I guess we'll see. And of course, that offensive line is is going to be a real problem for the Chargers no matter what, and that's going to be something that will be, you know, basically a theme for this team as we enter the playoffs. But I think I'm willing to take the 8.5 because I think they can get enough stops on the defensive side.
Well, that's the key, right? It's having the better defense in this spot. And like if the Chargers are down 14 and have the football, I feel confident this is going to cover. Like, yeah. That's a pot. Like, you know, it's one of those situations where, like, I trust this offense can move the football and backdoor this against the Cowboys defense. And I also like the Chargers defense in that situation because you're going to get runs. You're going to get the slower Cowboys team. I think they can get stops, get the ball back for the offense. So I do like this one. This would be that third rung on my ladder right now.
Cardinals are 2.5-point dogs versus the Falcons. They are down on yet another running back as Bam Knight goes to the IR for them. I did get Marvin Harrison back at practice today.
No thanks. No thanks at all. I wish I would like it more if Marvin Harrison wasn't playing because we know what this offense does. Just play the over. Like, don't even mess with the teaser. Either of these teams could score 30. Either could score 15. Either could score 7. Just play the over here. These are two teams that defense is not very good. The offense should be able to move football.
Lions are 7-point favorites hosting the Steelers.
Yeah, you can tease this if you want.
Yeah.
Like, this kind of feels like it feels the same, like the same as the Eagles, though. If you get the good Lions here,
yeah.
They beat the Steelers by 2 touchdowns. I'd rather just lay it than tease it, but I do think this is a reasonable teaser.
I think this is a reasonable teaser, though. I would play it in conjunction with laying the points. You see what I'm saying? Like, I would have a straight bet while also having the teaser leg, because, like you said, you get the good version of the Lions, they should cover the number.
Just womp them.
And if you get kind of that middling, I still think they could cover a teaser, right? I feel like maybe it's a field goal win as opposed to the touchdown plus. So there's that. Real quick, we already said we're on the Patriots, so we would certainly tease the Patriots. We've already bet them.
Yeah, just to go bet +3.
Yeah.
Don't tease the +2.5. Go bet a +3. And if you don't have access to it, it's just a 2.5. Yeah, I like the teaser leg as well. I think the Patriots win this game outright.
Before the line moves, Sharp Plays is already there. You guys have heard us talk about Sharp Plays here on the network. They've been around since 2011, backed up with documented results, public logs, and transparent receipts. They will send you stuff to your X feed or your inbox whenever something comes along. So Sharp Plays, it is trusted by the pros, monitored by the book. Stay ahead of line. Visit sharpplays.com. When we come back, our friend Aaron Halterman going to come in. We'll see if there's anything we can needle Mike about. I don't know if I don't think there's anything on the list here that we can needle Mike about, but who knows? Maybe there's something there. Don't go anywhere. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And this is coming through from Adam Schefter. The Rams team flight was supposed to be leaving. This was like less than an hour ago. Significantly delayed due to an equipment issue on the plane there, Mike. The Rams' new game plan for their trip to Seattle. Players and coaches will now leave on a 7:37 scheduled at 5:25 our time. So they just left. And then the remainder of the Rams staff will leave on a different plane.
Wow. Sounds brutal that their PJ wasn't working as they were taking off. So they had to get a different private jet an hour later.
You know,
that's rough.
You know,
I don't know how they handle that travel.
This sounds like they're just chartering a poor person plane as opposed to like whatever. And like, this is unacceptable. I would like to think all these teams have their own plane with like the awesome logos on them. Like this sounds like they're just chartering a poor person plane. And I don't agree with that.
I bet the internet won't even work on that plane, Matt.
Yeah. I'm just like, there. Anyways, this is just not, I can't, this is like the third time we've talked about these teams having engine troubles on these planes. Like, come on, guys. Let's get this together. All right, now joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, Aaron Halterman. He is, of course, co-host with Somich right there on VSiN at the Track. You can find him over at Racing Dudes as well. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, and the internet never works on planes, Somich. You know that as well as I do. So it doesn't matter, private jet or not, I never believe the internet's going to work on a plane.
Yeah, it seems
that's the first thing I heard about the Racing Dudes private jet is you guys were getting high quality internet on it. So I know that doesn't happen to you.
Well, that's okay. I'm trying to interact with the common people here. Samich. Come on. Yeah. Let me have this for a second.
Yeah, don't be blowing up his spot talking about his PJs and stuff like that. Like, come on, man. What are you doing? That's a set behind him. Actually, he really lives in like an 18,000 square foot, like whatever. He just like he wants to look like he lives in a normal home right there. All right, Aaron. So Oklahoma, Alabama gonna kick things off on Friday for us. About a point and a half is the number in that one. What say you?
Well, this is interesting because when I checked at about 4 o'clock today, this was Oklahoma plus 1.5, and it has flipped to Oklahoma minus 1 or -1.5, depending on where you look. That's very interesting to me because this has held steady pretty much ever since it came out. So for me, look, I full disclosure, I am an Oklahoma fan. I will be at the game, but I'm a logical fan. I've been on this show a couple times this year and picked against them. I'm going with Oklahoma in this game here. Here's the deal. I think it's going to be an ugly game. I don't think anybody's going to argue that, right? I think it's going to be a 17-13, 20-17 type of just, you know, struggle defensively. The one advantage that I think is a glaring advantage on Oklahoma's side, it's the special teams. It pretty much was a big factor in why they won in Tuscaloosa earlier in the year. They blocked a field goal. They forced a fumble on a punt return. They had a nice punt return, and they made all their field goals. I think special teams will be the story. When you get these tight games, special teams really matter. That's why OU's here. They had the Lou Groza winner and Tate Sandell at kicking, so I really think the special teams are going to make the difference in this game. The other thing is it's obvious the turnover situation will decide this one as well. You can't predict that kind of stuff. OU did get 3 turnovers in Tuscaloosa. I don't know if they're going to do that again. I think you're going to have to be sharper in this game. But I think the special teams pulls it through. So I'm going to go with Oklahoma to kick off the playoff.
I love how you just come on the show every week and just find ways to troll me. You start out by taking your homer pick with the Boomer Sooner there. And now you're going to go ahead and you're going to select the Miami-Texas A&M game, where I am a known Miami Hurricane fan. So tell us about why you don't like my football team this week.
You know that I only keep coming on here every week to troll you. That is what I live for, basically. I wish we had more shows because I could do it more, Samich. But anyway, I will say this. I found this to be the trickiest game to kind of break down and handicap. When you look at the analytics of this thing, it all kind of sides with Miami. Not in a huge margin, but you know the line is Texas A&M -3 or -3.5, depending on where you look. When you kind of look at the analytics and the stuff that I look at, it kind of has Miami as a 2-point favorite in this thing. So I thought that was interesting. I'm going to go more with kind of my eyes in this one, though. I just can't get over the fact that Miami lost at home to Louisville and then went down to SMU on the road and lost as well. It just really bothers me. I know there's positives. I know late in the year, you know, a nice win at Pittsburgh, whatever that counts for. They did beat Notre Dame. That was a really good win. I'm not going to knock that win. Just overall, I just think Miami on the road at A&M is going to be a crazy environment. I think A&M, you know, people are down on them because of the Texas loss. It's kind of just one of those situations. Texas is kind of a big monkey on that Texas A&M back, and they just struggled to beat them. I think they'll play better. I think they'll play a little bit more just kind of free in this game, and I don't really trust Carson back on the road in a big game. So I'm going to take the Aggies, but I will tell you, Mike, I went back and forth on this. I'm not sold on either team, really, but I do think at home I'm going to take the Aggies.
Talking to Aaron Halterman, of course, co-host of VSiN at the Track with Mike Samich. Find his work over at Racing Dudes as well and here with us on Wednesday evenings. Let's go and talk about these two games with the massive spreads. The two teams that don't deserve to be in here. Yeah, I said it. They don't deserve to be in here. All right. I mean, listen, we're supposed to be getting the best teams. This is obviously not the situation. If you are a 17.5 or a 21-point dog, you are not one of the 12 best teams. Anyway, we'll move on. What do you think about the big spread? Let's start with Ole Miss.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And you know, especially with this game, there's just no intrigue for me in this game. And listen, I'm the biggest college football fan there is, or at least one of them. You know, there's a lot of us, but I'm one of them for sure. And I look at this game and go, I saw this game. Tulane couldn't even cross the 50-yard line until garbage time earlier in the season. It was a complete a blowout. I do think Tulane has kind of progressed a little bit since that blowout in Oxford early in the season, but I think Ole Miss has progressed as well. So honestly, my best bet of the playoff in the first round here is Ole Miss laying 17.5. And I understand you might go, hell, that's a big spread. I don't know about that. We saw this game. This reminds me of a couple weeks ago. I was on here talking about Boise State and UNLV. We had just seen it like a few weeks ago and Boise totally dominated them, and the circumstances were exactly the same. and Boise dominated UNLV again. This is the same thing. Look, if Tulane had shown a little bit of ability to move the ball in the first game, you might say, well, they'll have a game plan where maybe they try to chew up the clock, run the ball, control the ball. But if you're not making first downs, you can't do that. And they just showed no ability to do it. And this is not a great Ole Miss defense. It's not awful, but it's certainly not great. The strength is obviously Trinidad Chambliss in the offense. I think people are kind of worried about Ole Miss because of the Lane Kiffin thing. I think long-term, that is a worry. I think short-term, they're going to be okay in this playoff. I like Pete Golding. I think the players like him, too. I thought that was a good kind of hire that you kind of just had to get somebody on staff and try to keep this thing together. I think Ole Miss plays inspired. Even though it's Tulane coming into town, it's still a huge game down in Oxford, one of the biggest games they've ever had there. So give me Ole Miss minus 17.5. Like I said, it's my best bet. I know it's a lot of points. I think they dominate Tulane again.
I actually think the emotional issue with Lane Kiffin helps them in this specific game. I think you have that motivation to come out in this game, the first round of the playoff, and really put it on Tulane, a game we've already seen where they move the football really at will in that game. You like the other big favorite as well here, Oregon 21.5 over James Madison.
Yeah, just real quick on the Ole Miss comment you just made. I hate to totally agree with you, but I totally agree with you. You're at home too. Everybody's upset down there. I think they all rally together. I think they're going to play great in this game. So I'm with you. Yeah, this is another one. James Madison, Oregon. To be honest, like I kind of like the James Madison story a little bit better. I do think there's a little bit more intrigue to it because we haven't seen them play Oregon. Even though, if it was the second or third week of the season and James Madison was going up to Oregon, like you kind of see in those early games, I don't think any of us would be sitting here thinking, you know what, James Madison can beat him. So I'm certainly not sitting here thinking about that now. I'm on Oregon here. I know 21 points is a lot, but, up at Autzen, that's a tough place to play. And you're talking about a seasoned Big Ten opponent versus a team from the Sun Belt. I do think James Madison defensively will be able to slow Oregon down a little bit. I think Oregon's a lot better defensively this year, though. So I'm looking at something like a 42-17 type of game. Maybe even like a 35-10 type of game. I think there's a chance James Madison, maybe with a backdoor cover, I give them more of a chance than I do Tulane. But at the end of the day, I've got to side with Oregon in this spot. So yeah, I'm going to lay it again. Give me Oregon minus that 21 points.
And one more bet that you have decided to throw into the account here, obviously some powerhouse SEC teams in this one. You got Georgia, you got A&M, you got Alabama, you got Ole Miss, you got Oklahoma. So you're just going to take the lot of them.
Yeah, I'm going to go SEC. Right now they're at plus 270 at the place where I made the bet. Look, SEC to win the national championship. I also, last week, I gave you out Georgia. I have Georgia to win it at 6-1 as well. The more I thought about it, I do really like this Ole Miss team. And when Ole Miss should play Georgia, if they, assuming they beat Tulane, Ole Miss gave Georgia kind of a battle the first time, in Georgia. Maybe they upset them, and then all of a sudden, at least I've got that SEC with that Ole Miss. Ole Miss is kind of really the one I'm thinking of. I kind of want a little bit of action on them. Also, Alabama, Oklahoma, the winner of that game, they play Indiana. Maybe there's a chance for a low-scoring type of upset there. So, yeah, I like the price. I think it's enough. SEC to win the national championship. My last future bet, as of now at least, for the playoff.
He is Aaron Halterman. Again, find him, Beeson at the Track, with Samich over at Racing Dudes as well. Appreciate the time, as always, and good luck, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
When we come back, no blood over in Circa Survivor. We'll let you know what's going on with that and millions as we come down the stretch here. Somebody going to take home a million in that one as well.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Primetime here on VSiN Wednesday edition. Matt Brown and Mike Somich. Appreciate you guys being with us. Of course, channel 158 over on Sirius XM. We are on terrestrial stations all over the country. Our very own VSiN Watch app and YouTube TV as well. We have the greatest sports betting contest in the world out here behind us. $18.7 million up for grabs in Circa Survivor. We are down to just 10 entries in Mike Somich. We saw a very weird thing last week. It started when we were going off air last Wednesday. And by the time that we went on for the contest show on Saturday here on this very network, 7 of the 10 entries had revealed who they were going to play. Now, you're not required to put in what you tweet, but that's at least what they had put out there. Comes to find out, all seven of them told the truth, and seven of the 10 did in fact share who they were going to play that week. The other three go in, and with that, 10 of the 10 do survive and move on. So we, no harm, no foul there in week number 15 as we head to week number 16.
Yeah, to all 10 get through. And we kind of talked through this, that it was highly likely we would see all 10 get through. All three teams, the Jags, the Niners, and the Eagles, 10-plus point favorites against three of the worst teams in football as well, the Jets, Titans, and Raiders. So great spots to be afraid of, everyone able to get through. I'm not surprised you had those announcements last week. Last week did not feel like it was that complicated of a week. This week, a little more complicated. Three people have Houston available. I would assume they will be taking Houston. One person has Buffalo available. I believe he's already come out and said he will be playing Buffalo. That leaves six entries that have to make a little bit more difficult clicks than their competitors this week.
Yes, yeah, so only the one person that did have the Bills did go out, and they even said last week, if we make it through, we're going to use the Bills next week. We're the only team that has the Bills. Who cares? We'll let you know what we're doing, you know. So they will be on the Bills, as we would assume, and again, we've been surprised before, but the three teams that have Houston, you would assume, as the biggest favorite on the week, and the fact that you're kind of on an island, I mean, there's only three of the 10 of you that can even play them, you would assume all three of the people who have Houston will be on Houston.
Yeah, I mean, Houston also playing very good football right now. On top of that, you've got the Chargers and the Colts, much more difficult games coming up in the later part of the season. Maybe you want to save them for the Colts week 18 at home, but it feels like if you got them available, now is a great time to be able to utilize that Texans card against, I think, what is going to be, we'll talk about our power ranks a little later, what is going to be the worst rated team for both of us in the NFL here in the Raiders.
So the other options you could go with this week that I think people, Philadelphia is going to be a big option for some of the remaining picks out there. They're, you know, 6.5 point favorites against Washington that we know will not have Jaden Daniels. And Mike, this is kind of one of those things where if you got to this far, you have the Eagles available because they killed everybody on Black Friday. So Eagles will be at least a choice for people this week as well, as will San Francisco going up against Indianapolis. They have, you know, they're 6.5 point favorites as well going up against Phillip Rivers. And, you know, again, it was fine. It was what Phillip Rivers did, but it was certainly nothing spectacular. And you get an offense in San Francisco that can come in and certainly put up some points. I know the defense leaves a little bit to be desired, but, you know, it's Phillip Rivers.
It is Phillip Rivers. And so you do kind of like the Colts side, or I'm sorry, the 49ers side of this, especially considering it's a money line play with that offense. It sounds like we won't have Pearsall in the lineup for the 49ers, but everybody else going to be healthy on the offensive side of the ball. The defense, they've got tons of issues, but Phillip Rivers can't throw the football 25 yards down the field. So that kind of covers up some of those, specifically in the secondary. There's also four people with the 49ers left. So you still have some tougher clicks coming up. What about the Saints, Matt? Saints taking on the Jets, 4.5 point favorites. This is a team that's rolling right now. Two in a row with Shuck. Any love for the Saints here is kind of an under the radar pick inside of Circa Survivors. People, all 10 entries do have the Saints available.
Well, so I'll go with this, right? We know the Bills are already getting picked by the person that has the Bills. You and I both believe that if you have Houston, it's just too good of a click. It's just too good of a click.
Yep.
You know for a fact that only two other people can have them, you know? And so, so it's too good of a click. So there's four out of the way right there for sure. San Francisco is probably going to be a pretty attractive click. The other thing for us to mention that we talk about all the time, it's also the Monday night game. So you would have hedge opportunities if need be, depending on what goes on all before that. So that is another thing that goes into these contests too, Mike, where sometimes the more attractive play, especially if it's a coin flip, let's just say, you know, you've got Philly or San Francisco that you could play either one of those. Well, you might opt just for the later one so you have more information.
You may, yes. And there are three people with San Francisco. They all do not have Buffalo or Houston. So maybe you could assume three on San Francisco then. We still have the one straggler, though, the three stragglers and where they're going to end up, where their three picks are going to end up, because they cannot play San Francisco, Houston, or Buffalo in this spot.
Yeah, there are a couple of entries, Mike, that, like I said, don't have San Francisco or Houston, but do have Philly. So I guess then, you're saying, it comes down to it's probably Philly for those guys. I mean, I guess they could consider the Saints, but do you want that click over a Philly click? I don't know. You know,
I do. I am more confident that the Saints will win this weekend than Philadelphia.
Wow.
I mean, Philly's a road team laying 6.5. I mean, this Jets team is putrid. I mean, I would also rather have the information. The Saints-Jets game, a Sunday game versus a Saturday game. I guess you can argue having the earlier game kind of helps you out as well. I can't believe it. I'd rather click the Saints than I would Philly.
I don't know if I would have the gumption, if you will. I'll say gumption. To do that, mainly because at the end of the day, it's still a rookie quarterback, right? And it's still a rookie quarterback.
You mean your rookie offensive player of the year quarterback?
Devin Neal ruled out. Adam Schefter let us know that. Alvin Kamara still dealing with all kinds of injuries. It's likely to be Nyheim Hines in the backfield for the Saints this week. So, I don't know. I think for me, I'm probably just making the Philly click. And I guess if I go out with Philly, then I go out with Philly. So over in Million, we are coming down to the wire there in that one. And of course, you don't have to make a separate week play or anything in that. So we are straight up here. Week 16, week 17, and week 18 is going to decide who wins that thing. Mike, CoinHop opens up a two-game lead here, a game and a half lead. He is 53-22 overall on the season. And another week in which we see Potato Kamish fall. Now Money Gun Guz is a name that we have mentioned a couple different times. Razor Teen is also 50-24-1 there with Potato Kamish. Wink is 51-24 for a tie for third. Bruiser with Bruiser 12-26. And then Sean's Dolphins has the outright second there at 51-23-1. We do have one entry that is 10-0 for the quarter. Of course, we had these quarterly prizes, so they have started out very, very nicely. 30 are 9-1, 153 are 8-2. I'm not going to say you can cut it off right there, but I mean, that is 184 entries, so probably can cut it off right there. But stranger things have happened, so 516 are 7-3 to start things out.
Yeah, still get your picks in. You never know. Yeah. You never know what could happen here with the last 3 weeks. If you go 15-0, maybe you can make up some ground there, either into the top 100 or possibly for a quarterly prize. Pretty crazy. One person, 10-0, to start the quarter. Mm-hmm. Usually we have like three teams, four teams tied at that 10-0 number.
Mike,
one person there.
Am I taking crazy pills, or have we talked about Go Pack Go before? Like, I kind of feel like we have. And maybe it was last year or something.
I don't remember.
Maybe it was last year or something.
It's definitely possible. I mean, 1 of 5 entries. The problem is, like, you hear Go Pack Go so often that you don't necessarily always equate it to the way you heard it before. I mean, I've heard Go Pack Go before. Not sure if it was with the contest or not. Interesting to see. Like, I will keep an eye on some of the teams as well that had multiple entries, top and bottom. We don't have anyone who currently is in the top 10 or in the bottom 5 that have multiple entries. We know we had a couple sitting right on the cusp last week.
Mike, one thing I go back and look, because Derek actually brought this up on the show on Saturday, where he was like, Money Gun Guz. He was like, oh, whatever. And he's like, something about the booby prize. Like, no, that's Guns Buttman. Guns Buttman is also done. But I went back and looked. One of the other Money Gun Guz entries actually did win the second quarter booby prize. So Money Gun Guz is T5 right now in the good side of things, and also has a booby prize already in his pocket for the second quarter.
Should there be a bonus if you can win both the booby and the main?
I mean, maybe so.
If you won and lost, shouldn't you get a bonus for that?
It's pretty amazing. So yeah, I mean, he's already made his entry back. So this is all good for him. Guys, make the holidays unforgettable with Omaha Steaks. They've got those gift packages. I know you're wondering what you're going to get people for Christmas. So go in right now. The VSiN exclusive 16 free smash burgers with any order of $129 or more, plus 50% off. Site-wide, visit omahasteaks.com/VSIN, omahasteaks.com/VSIN.